But people who actually sit down and write out their goals are 30 times more successful than people that have no goals whatsoever. Just the act of writing out a goal helps clarify it in your mind and your heart. And as I was thinking about goal setting and the importance of goals, I was thinking, because it's very intentional, right? Where does this fit into Scripture?
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author and your advocate for the family. Dr. Randy begins his teaching on Achieve Your Goals. Now, to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
Well, thank you, Kurt, and welcome to the Intentional Living Center today. That's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about today, tomorrow, and on Wednesday, how to achieve your goals. What does the Bible have to say about it? What gets us into trouble? And how we can be more intentional to stay focused on goals. There's no question that those who set goals, as you heard in the opening clip there, tend to be more successful than those who don't. And we're going to focus on why that is true and the power of living intentionally in your life. It's going to be a great series the next few days. Also today, it is September the 11th, 9/11, 16 years ago today. Those of us who were alive remember the tragedy of that day, what our country has been through since. And it reminds me to remind you and myself and all of us that we need to pray for our leaders, pray for our country, pray that God will give direction to our nation, especially in these troubled days. And setting goals will be part of it for sure. All right, let's move over to the teaching studio and day one of Achieve Your Goals.
The question is, why is it that we seem to fail at the goals that we set in our life? You ever noticed how you set a goal and then after a time it can start to fade and lose the significance in your life that once was there? In fact, the statistics are pretty sobering. 42% of us will establish New Year's resolutions. Y'all do that? I mean, many of you get the New Year's long ago. I've given up because I realize, as the statistics show, by January 15th, most of us have given up on the goals. In fact, only 8% of people succeed at the goals that they set at a New Year's resolution, which is pretty staggering. The research that's been done about goals in our life is that 84% of us have no goals whatsoever. That's hard to believe, isn't it? But 84% of people go from day to day just reacting to whatever is immediately in front of them. Their work demands, their challenges, taking care of kids, and they may have some real short-term goals that they're accomplishing for today. But as far as having some goals for the future, looking to the future, 84% of people have no goals for the future, which means that only about 13% would have goals in their head, according to research. In other words, you have a goal, you know what it is, but it's up here. Only 3% of people actually sit down, take the time to look at the goals that they have in life and write them out. What's interesting, though, is they've studied people who set goals for their life, and those that have goals in their heads, at least have some goals, tend to be about 10 times more successful than those who have no goals whatsoever. Now, I don't know how they measure that, but that seems pretty logical, doesn't it? But people who actually sit down and write out their goals are 30 times more successful than people who have no goals whatsoever. Just the act of writing out a goal helps clarify it in your mind and your heart. And as I was thinking about goal setting and the importance of goals, I was thinking, because it's very intentional, right? Where does this fit into Scripture? Is God a goal-setting God? Is God's intention for us to have goals in our life? And of course, God was the master goal-setter. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He had a significant goal. And in fact, it says in Jeremiah 29, I know the plans that I have for you. I know the goals that I have for you, and they are to give you a hope and a future. So God's plans for us, God's goals for us are very clear to him. And even Jesus, we see in John 14, after the resurrection, when he was with the disciples and they were troubled and discouraged and worried about the future, he said, let not your heart be troubled, for I go to prepare a place for you. I have a goal to go and prepare a place for you. Right now, Jesus is fulfilling the goal that he established and shared with his disciples 2,000 years ago. And then he said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So we know that goals are a part of God's plan, part of God's intention. Certainly, it's one of the attributes of God. And since we're made in his image, we too should consider the importance of having goals in our life. But probably the most famous or recognizable goal reference in Scripture is the Apostle Paul. I've referenced it several times as we've talked about goal setting. We see that Paul, in the book of Philippians, shares with us the goal. What I'd like to do for just a few minutes here this morning is talk about why is it that when we set goals in our life, that so often they're either just good intentions or they don't get accomplished. And what we can learn from the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, what he shares with us, it'll be significant for us to learn from. Okay? Is that fair? Some of you brought your Bibles or you have them on your phone. If you do, turn to Philippians chapter 3. And I think it's a good idea when we come to chapel to bring our Bibles when we're teaching, because we can follow along on what the Scripture is teaching us and to be helpful to us. But here's the verse that we all recognize, and it's from Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, where Paul says, I press toward the goal, right? I press toward the goal, and then he tells us why. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
You're listening to Dr. Randy's teaching from Achieve Your Goals, and he'll continue in just a moment. When you become a new monthly member, we'll send you the Intentional Living New Member Kit, which includes autographed copies of Dr. Randy's bestsellers, Starve for Affection and The Power of One Thing, a really cool One Thing wristband. And by the way, it's in Dr. Randy's favorite color, and his coaching CDs every month. Call 888-888-1717 and press option number 4. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours. Or go to theintentionallife.com. Thanks. Don't go away. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. I wonder what Dr. Randy's favorite color is.
We're intentionally trying to understand the other person, which is the way we were when we first got married 30-some years ago.
A better life together starts with you right now. Make a commitment to strengthen your marriage today by signing up for the Intentional Love Marriage Conference coming this fall to Michigan, New Mexico, and Arizona. Dr. Randy Carlson will show you how to experience the power of intentional love in your marriage. Register now at theintentionallife.com.
Now let's get back with Dr. Randy at the Intentional Living Teaching Studio as he continues, Achieve Your Goals.
Here's the verse that we all recognize, and it's from Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, where Paul says, I press toward the goal, right? I press toward the goal, and then he tells us why. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So let me illustrate by thinking of a triangle, and on one leg of this triangle would be the importance of a goal. And when we think of the Apostle Paul, he says to us, my goal is what? The prize. That's his goal. He says, my goal is to receive the prize. Now, what's the prize of the upward call? What does that mean? Well, if you turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, listen to this same man, Paul, as he writes in verses 24 and 25. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race, all one run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Paul is saying that the goal for him is to receive the crown. And, of course, that's an illustration of what happens
when we see people who win races, right? They get the ornaments that indicate that they have been successful and won the race. So when we look at the goal of what the Apostle Paul set out, the goal was to receive the prize. Some things we know about the goal, what is it? One is it's very clear, right? It's very directional. That's something about goals. When we set goals in our life, they are something that we can actually see, touch, smell, something that we can visualize. It's external. It's something that we're looking to receive and go after. Goals are not just theoretical. Goals are not just good ideas. Goals are things that are tangible. And you could see the Apostle Paul saying here that I press toward the goal of the prize. He wanted to receive the prize. I think sometimes as Christians, we think that's a non-spiritual thing. You know, as Christians, we say, well, God has saved me and he loves me and I'm serving others. But you know what the reality is? We should be motivated by the prize. Just like the Apostle Paul, we should get up and say, I choose to be intentional in my walk with Christ because of all that he's done for me, but I know there's a prize there for me. That's motivational. It was for Paul. Paul tells us to run, to get the prize, to receive the crown. It's a very visual thing that we can picture. Now, when you set goals, it could be that you want to get out of debt. That's a specific goal, isn't it? Maybe you have a goal that says, listen, I want to strengthen my marriage. It should be a very specific goal, something that not just a good idea, but we want to communicate better. My goal is to communicate better in my marriage. Maybe you have a goal for your own personal health that says my goal is not only to get healthy, not a general idea, but I want to honor Christ by having a goal that says I'm going to lose 25 pounds and I'm going to exercise every day or whatever it may be. But a goal is always directional. It's specific. It's something that we can stretch for. And the Apostle Paul gives us an example of that. He wasn't generic. He wasn't saying, hey, I love God and God is good. He's saying, I press toward the goal of the upward call because I want to receive the crown of glory. It's a very specific thing that Paul is going after. And that goal will dictate everything in his life. Now, let's see what else Paul shares with us. Listen to what he says in the verse before. He said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. But then he says in the verse before, he's going to talk about the habits, because this is the other leg. What habits does he have to have in his life to do this? And listen to what Paul says. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing, we've heard that before, right? But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead.
And we're going to pick up right from that point and continue this series on how to achieve your goals, the power of goal setting, and achieving goals. And as I think of the passage that says in James about setting goals, you know, it's really important to know that ultimately you have to say, is it God's will? And of course, that is foundational to everything we believe, everything we teach, everything about intentional living. Ultimately, we want his goal, his desire, his outcome for our life. But we want to get moving too, and that's intentional living. You know, we're on the air here and around the country, around the world online because of friends who support the ministry each and every month. I want to thank our members. And you know, members, if you're not a member, members listening know, you all receive in the mail every month, we send you a brand new CD teaching from me, from our center, some of the best from the radio that we share with our members. And so today, if you'd like to come and join us, boy, we'd love to have you be a member. Your monthly support allows us to do this each and every day. In addition to the ongoing monthly CDs, two of our best-selling books that I've written from Intentional Living, The Power of One Thing and Star for Affection, both of them coming your way, along with the wristband that I wear every day called One Thing. It's our gift to you. Just go to theintentionallife.com, click on Donate. Coming up in just a few minutes, I talk with some folks who are sharing the impact that one thing is having on their lives.
Why do we do the things that are bad for us, even when we know we should stop? It could be that you're believing some lies about yourself.
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's psychologist Dr. Gregory Jantz, our intentional mental health specialist.
Sometimes we do destructive things because we don't think we're worth anything. Maybe somebody told you something bad about yourself a long time ago, and you still believe it. You have to change your thoughts about yourself before you can get permanent change. Spend some time praying and asking God to show you the false guilt that you could be feeling. Ask God to heal your thinking. Then ask Him to help you start a new habit that matches how precious and valuable you are. You'll never regret turning around a destructive habit. You'll regret if you don't. For Intentional Living, I'm Dr. Greg Jantz.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
You know, with a name like Intentional Living, you gotta believe that Dr. Randy wants you to be intentional. And you'd be right. This month, he's helping you to be intentional for your life. And when you become a monthly member, you'll not only get Dr. Randy's monthly coaching CDs, but you'll also receive the Intentional Living New Member Kit, which includes two of Dr. Randy's books, Starved for Affection and The Power of One Thing, as well as the IL wristband. Join today. Go to theintentionallife.com or call anytime 1-888-888-1717and press option number 4.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy?
All right. Thank you, Kerr. You guys are so cool sharing what you're learning, and I know you're helping people here today, and that's what this center is all about. This is Intentional Living, a message that we've carried for years now that we believe is the ultimate message. God is an intentional God. He's not random. He's not chaotic. He is intentional, and He has called us in His image, created us in His image to be intentional as well. And it's a decision to figure out what pleases Christ and do it. It's developing the right habits, having the purpose and the goals and the mission, and then living it out every day. Not with perfection, but with a lot of joy. That's what we're here for. All right, we're taking your calls, talking about this. Lots of calls coming in. Your power of one thing. Diana, what's your one thing?
My one thing is to wake up in the morning cheerful. I'm not a morning person, and I used to wake up just cranky and just dreading the morning, and it just would set a terrible tone in the house. And we do foster care, and we have a lot of children in the house, and sometimes, you know, it's just not good. And when I wake up cheerful, everybody's cheerful.
So how do you do that? What do you do to go against the grain there?
Well, first thing is to ask God to help me with that.
Yeah.
And then to just have more patience with the children and everyone in the house.
Good. Fantastic. Good for you. Did you wake up cheerful this morning?
Yes, I did. Yes.
You know, this whole thing of being intentional. We talk about intentional living. It's a way of life. It's a decision you make. And you can't focus on 100 things, but one thing. Is that how we start? What's the one thing, the next one thing, that make the biggest difference in your life? And then go at it. Let me get Lorianne on here from Georgia. Lorianne, welcome.
Hey, how are you, Dr. Randy?
I'm doing well. What's your one thing?
My one thing is, at the beginning of the year, I put up a scripture on the board, and I recite it every morning. And this year's scripture is, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me on a path of everlasting life. Psalms 139:23-24.
Huh.
So I enjoy doing that, and he helps me through the day, because then I keep remembering it.
Yeah, good for you.
So, yeah, and
where do you post it? Is it all over the place?
Or
where do you post it, Lorianne?
I post it right on the side of the refrigerator. We have a dry erase board, so it's there. It's handwritten in ink on another piece of paper, and I magnetize it there. So, and it's there all year, so each year I switch it out. And I learn verses, too, that way, because if you're saying it for a year.
Yeah, exactly.
Every day, and he helps me through the day with it, too, because sometimes, you know, it's just not always going right.
Fantastic.
But I want to please him, so I got to keep remembering
my verse. That's it. That's your verse, and for our ministry, we really camp around the teaching of, well, the whole Bible, of course, the whole counsel of God, but Ephesians 5:10 says, hey, remember what pleases Christ and then do it. And that's really the head, heart, and hand alignment of our thinking, our emotions, and our actions. That really is what intentional living is all about.
Hey, Dr. Randy, this is Terry calling from Columbiaville, Michigan. I wanted to comment on the anxiety. I, too, suffered with that, and it was about a five-year battle that I'm just basically coming out of over the last 6 to 8 months. And the one thing that really brought me out of it was listening to your program one day, and it was probably 2 years into it, and you started talking about the one thing, and that just stuck in my mind, and I found myself making myself do one thing every day that I didn't want to do. However small it was, whether it was going to the gas station to get gas, I made myself do something every day, no matter how small, that I didn't want to do because of anxiety. And after a period of about 2 years, it's pretty much gone. There are still some lingering effects of it, which your mind will probably never forget, but that is the path I took. I tried medication that didn't work. I tried counseling, but a lot of prayer and making yourself get up and do things that you would normally just want to not do. I thank you for your program, and God bless.
Absolutely. Wow. Thank you for that. You know, we believe it. We've seen it. These testimonies are real. These are real people. I wrote the book, The Power of One Thing, How to Intentionally Change Your Life. And I started out here on page, it's an introduction, in fact. I said, the power of one thing will change your thinking. The power of one thing will change your attitude. The power of one thing will change your emotions. The power of one thing will change your words that you use. The power of one thing will change how you use your time. The power of one thing will change how you pick friends. The power of one thing will unclutter or declutter your life. The power of one thing will change the questions that you ask. And the power of one thing will change how you make decisions. Those are the nine, by the way, those are the nine chapters as well in the book, The Power of One Thing. Because I believe if we can get our thinking, attitude, emotions, our words, our friends, our decisions, and the questions that we ask. Think about the questions we ask. I always come back to Nehemiah and the powerful question he asked at the beginning of his journey to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Started with a question. Life can start with the right questions. And then the power of one thing to declutter your life. The power of one thing makes a difference. All right, let's go to back to the calls here. Pamela is on the line. Hi, Pamela.
Hi there, Dr. Randy. How are you?
Good, good. Appreciate your call today. What's your one thing?
Well, mine actually started with just choosing to live intentionally a number of years ago. But about 2 to 3 years ago, I made the choice to not go to bed at night without reading at least a few verses. And that has had just, I've read through the Bible. This year I've been working on just different books of the Bible, and I'm just about to finish John, and I've been so blessed with, I never realized before how from the very beginning of John, it just declares who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had a side effect of this in that I sleep better at night.
That's
so,
true. Well, it changes your mind. Yeah.
Just, ending the day with a few verses of the Word, and that permeates my brain through the night while I'm sleeping.
Good for you. How much time do you spend doing this every day?
Oh, it's not many. It's a few minutes.
Yeah.
It's the last few minutes before I go to sleep at night. And it might be five verses. It might be a chapter. It might be more.
Yeah. And that I think that's the whole point of this power of one thing. It's not the idea, wow, I got to spend 8 hours now in drudgery to do something. It's the little things. It's a power, 5 minutes reading verses, but doing it consistently. See, there's a multiplication effect that occurs. It's like depositing, like we mentioned earlier, that $100 every month, setting aside, or 10%. We teach 10-10-80 on money. Setting aside that 10%, tithing that 10%. You do that over an extended period of time, and some things really do start to change in your life. No question about it. Okay, thank you, Pamela. And by the way, she had the radio on, but a little delay. You've got that little delay thing that we do here. And I think that's probably what we're hearing in the background. Okay, Tony's on in New Mexico. Hi, Tony.
Hello, doctor.
Appreciate your call. What's your one thing?
First of all, I just want to say your program is amazing. And I think the way you minister to people, the way you talk to people, the way your show is just, it's just so, I'm a little nervous, I guess.
Well, I hear you, and I appreciate, that's very thoughtful. I appreciate the encouragement.
Yeah.
What have you been working on? What's your one thing?
The one thing I take very dead seriously these days, and hopefully I can talk to somebody out there that's going through this, is I stopped drinking alcohol. I'm an alcoholic, and I stopped drinking. And, you know.
Good for you. How long have you been sober?
I would say about a year.
Good for you. Helps you? What helps you to be, you know, staying on that path intentionally?
It's getting on my knees. It's being focused. It's being touching the hem of God, touching the hem of Jesus. It's just constantly staying plugged in. And, you know, basically what I wanted to say to somebody out there that's listening, if the alcohol is changing your situation with your marriage, your mood, muddying up your mind, you're having trouble making decisions, your desire for anything is just waning, your energy level is falling apart, even if it's the smallest thing, you know, you've got to submit and you've got to let it go. To let it go and not come back to it, get away from it, come back to it, get away from it. Just completely surrender.
You know, we teach, Tony, that from the book of James, where James reminds us that the cravings of our life, the desires of our life, are what drive the habits of our life. And when our cravings are for Christ and for holiness and purity and health, that gives us a lot more benefit than, of course, the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the ultimate force to help us. Thank you, my friend. Thank you for sharing your one thing, Tony.
Hi, Dr. Randy. This is Victor Reed, and I've decided that instead of giving sporadically to your ministry, I'm going to be a monthly partner. Help save my life and pull me out of the pit, and I know that this is given to the kingdom of God, so that's my one step for the day.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Your faithfulness and support means a lot. Thanks to all of our members. You know, we're in the fall now. Can't believe it. We can start to count down to the end of the year, can't we, almost? Starting to think about fall activities. And I'm excited to remind you that our Intentional Love Marriage Conference Date Night Series is right upon us. We're just about a month away from launching our fall series, where I'm going to be teaching the intentional love principles, how to develop love habits in your marriage. It's going to be life-changing for some people, encouraging for everybody, and I promise you're all going to laugh some as well. Michigan, Midland, and Jackson, October 13 and 15. Albuquerque, October 27. Glendale and Chandler in Arizona, Phoenix area, November 3 and 5. And then Tucson, we wrap up on November the 10th. Intentional Love Marriage Conference. Get your tickets. They're available today. In fact, why don't you bring some friends with you? Make it a double date, okay? That'll be a lot of fun for couples to come, maybe church groups, but certainly you and your spouse come and be a part of this. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com and click on the events tab. It's all there for you. It's going to be a lot of fun. Don't miss it. I promise we're going to have a great time. Hey, we're going to continue the teaching on achieving your goals next time. We'll see you right here from the Intentional Living Center.